with me. So when I ask some questions, I want you to answer me. This is a study that I did with Sandra Kennedy. Anybody, if I say Sandra Kennedy, do you know who she is? Sandra Kennedy runs a powerful healing ministry, healing rooms in Augusta, Georgia. And it's right, I think it's right across the street where they have the Masters there, I think, in Augusta. So it's right across the street from there, and it's a powerful ministry. I would love to sometime take our healing team down, Pastor Ina, and go down there and visit her healing rooms just for a day to see how she does it. But Sandra Kennedy's is very anointed and gifted woman of God. And this study she did, I want to say it was around 2012. So I took some notes. I created myself my own PowerPoint with it. I love it. But you can get further information on this study if you go to her webpage. But it's called Facts and Promises. Father, we just thank you for this night tonight, Lord. We thank you again that we can come and we can encourage the people, the body of Christ, Lord, that we can be encouraged, God, that we can be edified, that we can be lifted up, Lord. Father, we just love you, Jesus. We love what you're doing in this house. We love what you're doing in our individual lives, Father. Father, I thank you right now, God, for my grandson, Charlie, Lord. He went to the doctors today, and they are amazed, and they said they can't even recognize that he had pneumonia last week. So he's completely healed. So, Father, we just thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for your goodness and for your mercy, God. It endures, Father, and your mercies are new every morning for us, Lord. And we just glorify you, God, and we praise you, and we just give you this night. And great teacher, come in and teach us. Let us take out of this message exactly what you would want us to take from it, Father. Each one of us are at our own place and our own walk in the Lord. So, Father, I just thank you, God, that each one of us will take away exactly what you want us to take away. In Jesus' name, amen. So this is kind of fun, so I'm going to give you a couple statistics first because I love to do that. First of all, and I'm going to follow right along with my notes. So fact actually means knowledge or information based on real occurrences and accounted based on fact, something demonstrated to exist or known to have existed, a real occurrence or an event. A fact is what is that which we know is true. So how many can tell me a fact in the Bible that's true? What's true? What's a fact in the Bible that's true? God created. What else is true? Jesus is king. Did Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead? Yeah, that's a fact, right? So the promise to that would be we can raise somebody from the dead too, right? So the fact is he did, but the promise to us is we can do the same thing. Right? So he healed the lame man, right? That's a fact. So we can heal the lame man too. That's our promise, right? So a fact is something that's already happened, already transpired. He breathed and life became. That was a fact. So there's about 103 scientific facts that have been proven in the gospel. So facts are important for us to know. A promise, on the other hand, is a commitment by someone to do or not to do something. As a noun, promise means a declaration, assuring that one will or will not do something. When you put it in the verb tense, it means to commit oneself by a promise to do or to give. It's an indication of something favorable to come with expectation. How many are waiting for a promise to come to pass? And you're expecting it to come to pass, right? And how many, what do you do when that promise comes to pass? You get excited, right? I think that while we're waiting for the promise, we ought to act like we already have the promise, right? So if we're waiting for our sons or daughters to come home to be with the Lord, then we need to act like they're already home with the Lord, right? Or if we're waiting for a healing to manifest, we know healing is a fact. Jesus paid the price on the cross for you and I. But while we're waiting, sometimes it takes time to manifest in this body, but we walk this walk as if we already have it. That's like a promise. Okay, so it's an indication of a future excellence. And do you know that there is 8,810 promises in the Word of God? 8,810. Say that with me. 8,810 promises in the Bible. So that means we can have every single one because it's a promise to you and me, right? The Bible says that every promise is yes and amen. So there's 8,000 of them. My. Okay, so understanding facts and promises. Facts are, this is your first fill-in, facts are unchangeable. You can't change the fact no matter what you try to do. Facts are unchangeable. God's part is fact. So number two, promises require us to act on something. So God's part is the fact. Our part is the promise. So it requires us to do something. So if we're waiting for something to happen, then we speak to it. It requires us to do something to manifest that promise, right? So when I was waiting for my daughter to come back to the Lord, I began speaking that my daughter was coming back to the Lord. So I created that picture in my mind, my imagination, and I began to see her serving Jesus and doing what she's called to do. And so there's some things in my life right now where I'm imagining and I'm waiting for the promises to come to pass in my life. So I get the picture of what that looks like. So my friend Irene, she had a heart failure this past week, and she has been in an induced coma. She has gone through an EEG. That's where they put that thing on your head with all the electrolytes, all those cords. Yeah. And so I went back and I got a picture of her the last time I saw her. And it was a beautiful picture. And so I started picturing in my mind, that's what she looks like. Because the picture they sent me was a horrible picture. So they sent me a picture of what she looked like in the hospital room. And I didn't want to see that picture. So I closed that picture out and I got another picture. And I began to see her coming out. And we began to speak that she would make a full recovery, right? So we don't agree with the devil. We agree with the facts of God, and his facts are yes and amen. His promises are yes and amen to us. So the report is, looks like she's going to make a full recovery. There's nothing going on but an irritated brain. So she'll make a full recovery, however much she puts into that recovery. So I'm thankful for that, but we have to get a picture. The fact is that we're already healed. Promise is something that we need to do. We need to activate the promise of God in our life. Amen? So we can't change the facts. You know, there's a scripture, I think it's in Ephesians chapter 6. Let me look here. Ephesians 6. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there with me. If not, here's a promise and a fact. So Ephesians 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That's a fact. It says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live a long time, a long life. So the promise is, if you honor your mother and father, you're going to live a long time, right? So that's the promise there. So that's the difference between a fact and a promise. Fact is number three. Oh, did I give you number two? Okay, so promises require us to act on something. Number three, fact is God is love. You can't change that. You can't tell me or anyone else that God is not a God of love, because God's a God of love. All right, so number four, promise in John 15, 9 through 10. Let's take a look at this scripture. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments, and we abide with him. So, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love. Fact is, he is love, that he loves us. But for us to remain in that love, we must keep his words. So there's the promise and there's the fact. Fact is, he loves us, but the promise to you and me is, we will remain in him as we keep his word. Does that make sense? So there's always something that we have to do on our part. Isn't it wonderful that God gives us a choice? He gives us a choice. We can choose what we're going to serve today. We're going to serve God or we can serve mammon. But we get to choose today. So there's something that we need to do to activate the promises in our life. So if I'm going to abide in Jesus, then I'm going to remain in his love. I'm going to keep his word hidden in my heart that I wouldn't sin against him. Amen? Okay, so the fact is, he loves us, but for us to remain, that was your fill-in, that love, we must keep his words. And let's take a look at Psalm 103, 1 through 4. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Isn't that beautiful? All right, so number one, if you don't forget, it's yours. So there's the promise. So if you don't forget it, you can have that. It's yours. But if you forget it, number two, it's not yours. So there's a promise. So he says, forget not those things. So I love Pastor Dave's last message that he taught in here. He talked on thankfulness and the power of thankfulness and to remind God and to be thankful for the things that God has already done in our life and not to forget those things that he's done. His hand is not shortened that he can't do the same things today that he might have did in your life 10 years ago. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. His promises don't change and his word doesn't change. Okay. So number three, this is a promise to those who don't forget. Say with me, I'm not going to forget. Yes, I'm not going to forget. And you know, sometimes when we're troubled in life or we're going through circumstances, the enemy will come in and try to stop us from remembering. I always ever had that. It's like he comes in purposely and tries to I don't know, stump you. And you get your mind off what God did. And you get your mind on the problem. And you think there's no way out of the problem yet. 3 years ago, God got you out of the same problem. But you've forgotten about that. He says, don't forget. Don't forget those things. Remember those things because that's the promise for you. So if you can remember what he did 3 years ago, surely he can do the same thing today, right? So we prayed for a sister the other day, yesterday in fact, we prayed for her. And she was worried that some type of cancer was coming back upon her. But Nahum 1:8 says, this shall not come upon you a second time. So we got to remember what God did last time. God is going to do the same thing this time. That's a promise. That's his promise to us, that he's going to deliver you and I and set us free. When we abide in him, he's going to give us everything that we have need of because he's faithful. That's a fact. And we can't change that fact that he's faithful. Okay. Does that make sense? When I first heard this message, I loved it. Okay. So number one, if you don't forget, it's yours. Number two, if you forget it, it's not yours. Number three, this is a promise to those who don't forget. So don't forget what God has done in your life. Number four, he forgives all sins. That's unchangeable. I love that. So he forgives all sins. That's unchangeable. He doesn't change his mind about it. He doesn't say, well, I forgave you, and now he remembers that again, right? So when I was a juvenile delinquent, and I was skipping school and running away from home and doing all kinds of crazy mess. And so now I can laugh about it because I'm like 100 miles away from that kind of life, you know. But I was once in that life. God is not going to bring that back and hold me accountable for that anymore because he's forgiven me and he's washed me clean in the blood. So that's unchangeable. That doesn't change. So whenever we send things to the cross, we fall short of God's glory every day because we still live in this earthly body. We still have this mind that we're renewing. So we fall sometimes or we think something that we shouldn't be thinking. But the moment we send it to the cross and ask God to forgive us, it's unchangeable. You're forgiven. It can never come back again. Save me, it can never come back again. Yeah. But all the enemy would try to bring it back. But when he does, you tell him, it's unchangeable. I'm already forgiven. That's a fact. God's not going to change his mind about it. Okay, so this becomes something that you can claim. So I can claim that today. I can claim that I've been forgiven by the blood of the Lamb, and that life was once a life that I lived, but I no longer live that life anymore. But it's a fact that he forgives and heals all our diseases. It's a done deal. So I think sometimes when healing and we're seeking the Lord for healing, I think sometimes we go about healing as a promise. But healing is not a promise. Say with me, it's not a promise. It's a fact. He died. We just celebrated Resurrection Sunday. He died on the cross. The Bible says that he took all of our sickness. He took it all. Everything that even the world can come up with now that may not have been then, but it is now, manifested now. He took it all once and for all. So it's not a promise to obtain. It's a fact that we have. So how do we reach it many times when we're in that mess? We stand on the promises of God and we declare what the Word of God already says, that it's a fact. I am healed. And I'm going to get up today and I'm going to walk about my life as if I'm already healed because I am, because that's a fact. And so if I go anything under that, I'm putting him back on the cross when he said it was finished. That makes sense? That's a fact. Okay. All right, so let's just take a look at a couple of scriptures there. We're going to revisit John 15, verse 9. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. So, as I also have loved you, that's a fact. Abide in my love, that's the promise. So, the fact is that he loves us, but the promise is we've got to abide there. So, you've got to make time for God. You've got to make time to go. He said, abide in me and I'll abide in, my words abide in you. You can ask whatever you will. You can have that, but you've got to learn to abide in him. So that's the promise for you. You can have that, but you have to make that time in your life to abide in him, right? So we've been sharing at prophetic class the importance of soaking with the Lord. Or if you don't want to soak with the Lord, find time where you can just meditate in God's word. Whatever works for you. If it works for you to shut the door and get in your prayer closet, whatever works for you to abide in him so that that promise can be fulfilled in your life, then do it. Then just do it. Okay. So let's take a look at Isaiah 53, verse 5. It says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes you were healed. So the fact is, that's a fact. But you have to take it and make it your own. We have to make healing our own. So we have to take that and make it out. We got to know that we know that we know. And Sandra Kennedy says, you got to know that you know and you know her. You got to know. You got to know that that is God's plan for you, that you are already healed. That's a complete fact for you. Amen? It's a fact that you're healed, but we have to make it our own. And how do we make it our own? We make it our own by reading the Word of God, renewing our mind, Romans 12, verse 2, not being conformed to the things of this world, but being transformed by the renewing of our mind, so we might prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God for us. So we do that. We practice the word of God. We practice the word is like honeycomb to my lips is the word. The word is life to all of my flesh. I wish above all things that you prosper, even as your soul prospers. So we take the word of God and we meditate on the word. We're like Joshua, be strong in the Lord, right? So we can be strong in the Lord by speaking his word and getting his word out. So we want healing to be manifested in our body. That's a fact. We sometimes have to work that. We have to work the works of the kingdom. And working the works of the kingdom is applying the word of God to our lives, because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the word of God is our final authority in our life. Amen? Amen. Okay. Let's take a look at 3 John 2. So this is a promise. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. So this is a promise, but we have to do something, right? And I just shared that. How we do that is by renewing our mind. So the promise is he wants us to prosper, and he wants us to be in health, just as your soul prospers. So God wants that for us, but there's a promise there that we've got to do, right? Yeah, we got to get our soul to prosper. And how do we get our soul to prosper? The word of God, right? So there's lots of ways. The number one way is the word of God. Number two way is pray in the Spirit. Build yourself up in your most holy faith. So pray in the Holy Spirit. The third way is get together with unbelievers. Get together with believers. Iron sharpens iron. So get together with them and speak the word of God to one another. Get with somebody who thinks like you. Don't get somebody who doesn't think like you. Because I had to just deal with that, with my friend. I had to deal with that because, oh, my goodness, they think that this, I had to deal with the fact that, God is allowing this, and this is what's supposed to happen, and this was God's plan. No, it's never God's plan to bring sickness. The fact is she's already healed. But I had to deal with that mindset again, because that mindset is still very prevalent in our country today and in some religions today. And up in northern part of our country, it's very dominant for people to think that way. So the fact is we're already healed. And I'm going to get my soul to prosper because my body's going to reflect what God's word says, right? And so how do we get our body to reflect it? As our soul prospers. So we study the word of God to show ourselves, to prove it a good workman, that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, right? How do we do that? By meditating on the word of God. In the Assembly of God, they used to say, be a Berean, and we need to be that Berean to study the word of God to show ourselves approved. All right. So the promise is we have to do something. We have to renew our soul. And it's a fact that God wants us to prosper. Let's take a look at 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 20. For all the promises of God in him are yes and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. Now remember, I said there's 8,810 promises. So every promise in God are yes and amen. So I would encourage you to seek out the promises. I don't know, do a Google search. Google search how many promises there are, and then just go and find the promises of God. And find the promise that you're holding on to or that you're believing for. And begin to speak that promise, because that promise to you is yes and amen. Every single, that's a fact that God wants his promises to be fulfilled in our life. Amen. So I would encourage you to go and get into the promises of God. So we have the promise of God by faith that you're filling there. So we have the promise of God by faith, by his faith working in us. Because how many know sometimes our faith can be weak in the middle of the trial? In the middle of the trial, it could be weak. You know, when I looked at my grandson, I needed the prayers of the saints. As I watched my daughter, I could see that she was tired, and I could just see that I needed for the body of Christ to be praying. Because her faith, she couldn't do it on her faith. She had to rely on the faith of Christ that lives and dwells on the inside of her. So we could feel the prayers. So sometimes you'll get in the middle of something and you need God's faith, because your faith sometimes can become weak. So that's when we realize God's faith is what we need. So a fact is a fact. And sometimes we have to let our faith arise to receive that fact. So I just want to say here that it doesn't matter how we feel. The fact is that we're already healed, and that's the truth. That's not a promise. It's already done. So no matter what we're going through or how we feel, that's not the truth. The fact is that we're already healed. And I think that sometimes we get so clouded in our day-to-day routines that we're doing, or we're working, or whatever God has called you to do, whatever environment that you find yourself in, sometimes we will, I don't know, like almost surrender to that feeling. I don't know. How many ever got up and just said, I got a headache, and go run to the cabinet and take an aspirin? Who's done that? Okay. or you know, not that you can't take an aspirin. You can take an aspirin, right? Or, you know, some people are on blood pressure medicine, and we need the medicine, right? But if I wake up with a headache, the first thing I'm going to say is, I rebuke this headache in the name of Jesus. You're not going to rule me today. Yeah, you may think you're going to rule my head today, but you are not going to rule my head today, right? So I go to God first, because his word is medicine to my flesh, right? If I wake up and my foot is hurting me, I'm going for a walk. I'm not going to sit here and baby my foot, but I'm going to go for a walk. And I'm going to walk this thing out of my foot. If my knee hurts, now listen to what I just did the other day. Now I'm gonna bust myself. So I'm with Jillian, and I had to park my car in the parking garage, like, I don't know, 3-4 stories up. And it was way away from the elevator. So I had to find myself going up and down all these sets of stairs, right? And then I had to walk all the way down this sidewalk, go across the crosswalk, go across another crosswalk, into the hospital, sign in, down the corridor, down another corridor, up to the 7th floor, then down the other floor. Now, I don't know how many times, maybe 2 or 3 times a day. And then all of a sudden one night, I'm like, oh man, my knee. My knee was like really bad. And I'm like, oh. And I thought, okay, Lord, I'm going to need your grace to get up these stairs to get to my car. And it was late, and I had to go pick up Jillian from school. And so I lay hands on my knee. And I just laid hands on it. I said, okay, devil, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I tell this knee to line up in Jesus' name. I'm not having this. I'm not receiving this. I have got to do this. I don't know how many times a day, and you're not going to stop me from doing this. And so I go pick up Jillian from school. And what do I say to Jillian? I'm going to stop by Walmart and pick me up a knee sleeve. So I go to Walmart. Now, I just prayed, right? Now, don't tell me you guys have never done this before. Don't tell me. Okay, so I go into Walmart. I buy this thing. I'm complaining now because it's $18 to buy this sleeve, you know. I'm like, it's $18. Oh, but this could be a good one because it comes with an ice pack. And so you can ice it or you can get it hot. You know, you can make it hot in the microwave. So I buy it. I buy this silly thing. So I bought it, and I go up to the register, and I pick her up something, and we're cashing out, and I get home, and she's, oh, Grandma, let's try it. I said, oh, not right now. I'll put it on in a little while. And then as time went on, thought, wait a minute. My knee was completely healed. And I said to my granddaughter, I said, I repent in front of you. I said, I am so sorry, Jillian. I said, I prayed and asked God to heal me. He healed me. And what did I do with my stinking thinking? I went right into the store and bought me a knee sleeve thinking that was going to help me. Right? So we've all done that, right? So we go by, sometimes we're motivated by how we feel. And I was feeling like, oh my gosh, I can't do these stairs anymore like this unless I have something on my knee. Well, you know, that was on Wednesday. I did it on Thursday. I did it on Friday. I did it on Saturday. I came home. Here I am. And I never opened up the box, and I'm returning that back to Walmart. Gonna get my 18 bucks back. Yeah, so that's when I say that it doesn't matter how we feel, sometimes we surrender to how we feel. And that's why it's so important for prayer and fasting sometimes to get our souls to line up with the Spirit of God. Amen. All right, so I busted myself wide open there, didn't I? Okay, Ephesians 3:17, let's take a look at this scripture. All right, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. All right, so this is a promise that we can have, that we can make our own, that we can imagine until it becomes ours. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. So we can imagine ourselves being rooted and grounded in God's love. Have you ever imagined yourself like that? Have you ever imagined how much God loves you? I was listening to a CD this afternoon, and at the very end of my CD, Graham Cook comes on. And at the very end, he does a prelude of how much God loves you at the very end of the CD. So when I close that out this afternoon, that's what I listen to. And he loves you, that he loves you, that he loves you, that he loves you. And there's no more that you can ever do to make God love you, because he loves you. And it doesn't matter what you've done or what you're going to do tomorrow or what you're going to do 10 years from now. God is still going to love you. That doesn't change. So I think that we need to get a picture of this and imagine ourselves rooted and grounded in God's love. And we'll be fearless. When you are in love with somebody, or when you're in love with your husband or your spouse and you're in love, you don't fear them. You want to please them. You want to be more and more. You want to honor them. And so when we imagine ourselves grounded and rooted in the love of God, we're honoring the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we become just like him. You become who you hang out with. So if you hang out in the presence of God, you become like God. If you hang out in the glory follows you, right? You can see the glory on somebody, right? How has ever seen the glory on somebody? Yeah. Oh, and you feel the presence of the Holy Spirit while they're ministering, or you see gold dust or whatever, you may angels around. I mean, you sense the presence of the Lord because they know what it's like to spend time in the glory of the Lord, right? And that, we all want that, right? We all want the glory of the Lord to be evident in our life. Amen. So imagine that and picture yourself in the glory. Okay, let's take a look at another scripture. John 14:21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. So here's just a couple fill-ins. God is love, that's a fact. God is life, that's a fact. In him, there's no darkness at all, that's a fact. So that's a fact. So this scripture is a fact. He who keeps my commandments and keeps them, he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him. That's a fact. God loves us. But he who has my commandments and keeps them. You know, our whole law system was built on the commandments. Our whole Justice Department in the United States was built on the Ten Commandments. We have the Ten Commandments in Washington. Our forefathers loved the Ten Commandments. That's a fact. The fact is, our nation was built upon godly principles. That's a fact. The promise is, we've got to fight like heaven to keep it. Right? So we've got to declare God's word to keep it. The fact is, we were started a nation, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. That's a fact. But now the enemy's come in and flooded some mine gates and done some crazy stuff. So now we got to run to the promises of God. To remind God that this is what you established. That's a fact. You established this country. So we fight with all of heaven to keep this nation, one nation, under God. right? That's how facts and promises can work together and flow together. Okay. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So, time to abide in the facts. Facts don't need to be changed. That's number one. God's part is fact. Our part is the promise. So, the promise is up to you and me. Number two, fact, God's word is light unto my path. We just need to apply it. So the fact is, it's light, and it lights up my path, but we need to light it up, and we need to allow it to work, apply it in our life. So the whole word of God is a light unto my path, the whole word. So wherever you find yourself in the word, it's lighting your path. That's a fact. Yeah. Our part is to apply it. Number three, if it's a promise, we must ask for it. And James says it about wisdom in James 1:5. It says that if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. So we must ask for wisdom. It's a promise that we can have it, right? So he says, if you ask me, I'm going to give it to you. But it requires us to ask him for it. That makes it a promise. It's like when Kenneth Hagin was speaking when he was a young boy. I think he was around 16 years old or so. And I'm going to go to his famous scripture. Hold on. In Mark 11. Yeah, let's go there and read that together. Because that's a good fact and promise too. Okay. Can anybody else think of a fact in the Bible? Or a promise? What did God say to Abraham? Noah. Yes. What did God say to Abraham? What did God say? All the stars of the earth become your seed. That's a fact. Okay. All right. So Mark 11. And let's go to. Have faith in God. Verse 23. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatsoever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. That's the promise, but you've got to ask for it. You've got to ask for the mountain. Kenneth Hagin was down on his sickbed, and he believed this scripture, and he began to quote this scripture, whatever I ask, and I believe in your name, you're going to give this. I'm going to rise up out of this bed, and I'm going to walk. And Kenneth Hagin rose up out of that bed, and he walked. And he lived somewhere into his early 80s. And then he went home to be with the Lord when he was ready to go home to be with the Lord. Yeah, was he 18? Yeah. So he took that scripture, which was a promise, and he acted on it. So sometimes the promise requires us to act on it. Okay. All right, so let me go back and just. All right, so now, did I give you the fill-in for number three? But it requires us to ask for it. That makes it a promise. Okay. I'm just going to recap real quick on what the meaning of fact is. So the fact is a thing that's already been done. So it's already happened. It's already a done deal. So when we say that God raised Lazarus from the dead, that's a fact. He already did that. When Christ Jesus rose from the dead, that's a fact. He already did that. When he took all the stripes upon his back for our healing, that's a fact. He already did that. We can't change the fact. Okay. God is eternal, right? He's before time. He is time. He's from everlasting to everlasting, Psalms 90. He will always be. God is infinite. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the first and the last. Revelation 22, verse 13. That's not in your scripture, in your notes. So those things you can't change. Facts will never change, but promises can change. Promises can change when we don't stand on the promises. So it requires you and I to stand. The promise is there, but it'll change for you if we don't stand on the promise. Does that make sense? So when I stood for my daughter, when I stood for her, I was standing on a promise that my seed shall be blessed and my seed shall inherit this earth. That was a promise that I stood on. That meant everyone in my household was going to be saved. So that was the promise that I stood on. And so, but it required me to do something. So I had to see it in my imagination, and I had to stand on the promises of God and thank him for where she was and where she's going to be. And so as I began to do that, then I saw that manifest in my life. Now, here was something else that happened. So I had a friend, and she didn't like me. She's my friend now, but back then she didn't like me. And this is back in the early 80s, and she was from Puerto Rico, and she thought I was a Jehovah's Witness, and she was that neighbor that I didn't want anything to do with. So I was going to stay away from her. And I was a small little girl at that time. I was like a size 6, and she was probably a size 16. She could really clobber me. Okay. So I stayed away from her. And so one day I was praying, and I'm praying for my neighborhood, and the Lord said that I'm going to see her salvation. And I laughed. Like Sarah laughed, I laughed. Joking me, right? No. And that's how I felt inside. You got to be kidding me. I said, well, how? What do you mean she's going to get saved? And he said, I want you to give to her to see her salvation. Wait a second. I'm not going to go down to her. I'm not going to give. I don't even know her. I'm not going down there to her house. I'm not doing that. So I started to reason with God. Pastor Dave always says, Kimberly, you don't reason with God. Stay in today. Don't reason for tomorrow. Stay today. So I said, okay. So then I humbled myself before the Lord. And I said, okay, Lord, what do you want me to give her? And he said, she's pregnant. Oh, she's pregnant. I didn't know she was pregnant. Oh, okay. And he says, you got a lot of extra baby clothes. I want you to start giving them to her. So I packed up a bunch of baby clothes. I went down. So I'm acting on what God said. The fact was she was going to get saved because he told me so. That was a fact. The promise required me to do something. I needed to do something, and that was going to cause death to my flesh, right? So it really caused me to humble myself and eat a piece of pumpkin pie. So I went down, knocked at her door, and so she wouldn't answer. She didn't answer, so I started to step away, but then she opened the door, looked out at me. And I said, hey, I got some things for you. I'll just leave them right here. And so she looked at me. Okay. Well, as time went on, I continued to give to her. And then I was baking cookies one afternoon, and I saw her kids outside playing. So then I invited her kids to come down and have cookies with my kids. And God just began doing things by me giving things to her. And then all of a sudden, one day, I didn't see her. She was gone, out of the picture. And her husband was home. Her husband had been deployed. And her husband was home. And I didn't know what happened. I thought, well, maybe she had her baby. Maybe she went and had her baby. And I didn't talk to my neighbors about anything. So, and no one talked to me about anything. So I didn't know what happened to her. So a couple weeks had gone by, and I was heading out into my backyard. And I walked out to the backyard. And I lived in a military housing. And all the houses were attached, like a townhome kind of thing. And you go out back your back door. You come off your patio, and you can look down, and you can see all the other townhomes. Fences separated it, but they're only 4 feet high. So I look down and I see her. And she stands up. She was outside sitting in the sun with her husband. And she raises up her hand. She says, you wouldn't happen to have any suntan lotion, would you? Oh, sure, I got some suntan lotion. Crazy, bottle of suntan lotion. So I go in the house, get the bottle of suntan lotion. Now I come out and she's at my gate. So she walked from her, and we meet at the gate. And I go to hand her my copper tone suntan lotion. I'm going to hand it to her, and she starts to cry, and she says, can I talk to you? I said, sure, come on. I said, you want to come in and sit down? She said, yeah. And I said, okay. I didn't know, but I knew Holy Spirit was up to something because I'd been given. I'd been faithful. I've been working the promise. I was required to do something, and I was working that promise. And I brought her into the house, sat her down on my couch, and she began to tell me where she had been. She had been in an institution. She was in a horrible mess, horrible shape. But there was a Christian counselor there that witnessed to her about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And she said, I think that you're like them. And I said, oh. I said, did they lead you to Jesus? Did they pray with you to receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? And she said, no. And I said, oh. I said, they're Christians. I said, but I believe that Jesus Christ came and rose again for me. And I believe that he died and that my sins are forgiven. And if you'd like to receive him, I would love to pray with you. And right there in the middle of my living room, tears strolling down her face, she gets saved. Right there. Amen. Right there. So fact was, she was going to get saved. The promise was, required me to do something to see this promise unfold. 2 weeks later, she gets baptized in the Holy Ghost, filled with tongues, starts bringing her tambourine to church. Her whole family gets saved. Husband, children, today her grandchildren, the whole family saved, loving Jesus. She's more crazier than me. She repented and said she's so sorry for thinking I was a Jehovah's Witness.
Okay. So I've been confessing the Proverbs 16 and verse 17. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him.
Yes.
So I've been quoting that over some neighbors. I have received 3 meals on Sunday evenings that she has fixed and brought them to me.
Wow. You see, the promise is God wants that relationship healed. And the promise, the fact is that he wants her saved. He wants her to go to the kingdom. He doesn't want her to not go to the kingdom. He wants everyone to go. So the promise is she's doing her part. And all of a sudden, she's seeing it begin to happen. So fact is, God wants the person saved. The promise is sometimes we have to walk that promise out. You and me, we walk it out. And then we see it happen in our lives. Amen? All right. So, and a promise is, just to recap, it's a declaration of future excellence. So it's an expectation for something, the promise. So the promise in that circumstance for me was, God, you told me she was going to get saved, so I'm going to believe you that she's going to get saved, and I'm going to give to this woman, even though I know she doesn't like me, I'm going to give to her because you said she's going to get saved, and that's a fact. So it required me to do something. So the Bible says in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." That's the fact. That's God's plan and his design for you and I, to give us a hope and a powerful future in him. Amen. And every little thing we do, it just grows. Our walk and our growth in the Lord just continues to grow as we hold on to the promises of God. We begin to declare them and speak them forth. We'll see all the things that God has promised us come to pass in this lifetime. If you don't give up and you don't forget, we need not to forget. So I am already healed. Say this with me. I am already healed. I am the righteousness of God. Through Jesus. That's a fact. I am seated with Christ. That's a fact. Right? What does it say? That we are seated in heavenly places, right? We're seated way up here. It's like on an airplane when you take off down the runway and you're going up in the sky and you got the window seat and you're looking down and everything gets smaller and smaller and smaller, and then all of a sudden you're in the clouds and you no longer see the world beneath you, right? That's what it's like to be seated in Christ. All the things of the world become so faintly dim that we don't even see them because we're seated with Jesus Christ in heavenly places, far above the storm and the trial on this earth. And that's a fact. Our spirits are there with him right now. So let's trust him for the promise. Say with me, my seed shall be blessed. My barns shall overflow with milk and honey. My whole household shall be saved. Yes. Now that's who we are. That's God's promise to you and I. We are blessed. We are, our barn shall overflow with milk and honey. And my whole household shall be saved. That's a fact. So we can stand on it. Even if you don't see it, even if it's crazy, even if the enemies come in and rob them of their identity, it doesn't matter. God's word says your whole household shall be saved. In your barns, honey and milk shall flow. You are blessed of the kingdom of God. So that rebellious one has to come back and surrender their life to Jesus Christ. That's a fact, because you're standing upon the promises of Jesus Christ. Okay, so Romans 8, verse 31 says, "For God is not against us." That's a fact. He's not against us. Matthew 6:33, here's the promise. "Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things will be added unto you." So the fact is, he'll never leave us. But the promise is, you and I have to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all of these things that we're talking about tonight, all of them will be added unto you. Amen. God bless you. I love you guys. I love you guys. I hope that encouraged you. Hold on to the facts. Find out what they are. And go research the 8,800